Blog Talk Radio.
Time with Pastor Steph.
Good morning, good morning. Rise and shine. You're on with the Due Time with Pastor Steph. How are you this morning? That's what I like to hear. That's what I like to hear. For this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. So, where were you yesterday? Oh, yesterday. Well, let's talk about it. Tuesday, church folk day. And we had some interesting conversations. We talked about the Nigerian wedding party who are coming from the wedding. Was in a car that broke down, and after they went to get the brakes fixed, they were kidnapped and held for ransom. Yes. And that's what they're doing over in Nigeria now. They're kidnapping their people and they're holding them for ransom because it seems to have become a very lucrative way of living. Yeah. Well, we also talked about that elephant that with the woman at the well after she was going to fetch her water. The elephant trampled her. And while they were, you know, providing the funeral rites out in India where she, you know, would live, the same elephant came and snatched her up with his tusk. Tuck threw her in the air, yes, the corpse in the air, and ran off, and the family continued the funeral. Well, we also talked about that young lady, yes, in Florida, who, thanks be to God, she was accepted into every single Ivy League college. Yes, she decided to shoot her shot, as they say, and as she said, and just apply for them all. She couldn't figure out which one she wanted to go to. And every single school said, we want you. So she ended up choosing Harvard. Yes. So, thanks be to God that, you know, we're hearing some of our young people doing some great things. Yes. And last but definitely not least, we talked about the gentleman, that's what you want to call him, who shot his child's mother, leaving her two children without a mother, shot her mother in the head twice, then took the one-year-old baby, went to the church property and shot the one-year-old and then shot himself. Yeah, we've been talking about a lot of this lately. a lot of this murder, suicide. And, you know, you really can't figure these people out. You know, we talked about, you know, what seems to be the problem. You know, does the enemy want to keep people out of the church? Because every time you turn around, something is going on in the church. Yes, well, you know, you got the shooting in the schools. You have the shooting in the supermarket. You got the shooting on the train. You know, everywhere you go. Everywhere you go. And now seems to be the shooting in the church. Now on the church grounds. And, you know, we talked about, you know, people just want any old excuse not to go to church anyway. So the enemy knows exactly what to do, because he knows church folk. He knows that, you know, you really, your heart is not there. You're fickle. And any excuse is better than none. And unfortunately, you know, that's what it seems to have come to in this world, where we just do what we do, and then we don't do the rest. Yeah. So, you know, we just got to get ourselves together, make sure we are determined to live the life that God wants us to live in. And, you know, there's no weapon formed against you shall prosper. And, you know, we have to think about this thing here. You know, if the enemy wants to kill us, only God can take and give a life. And, you know, the enemy is behind everybody. And he's never left anyone alone. Not at all. So, you know, if he can persuade us that there's a reason why it's not safe in church, then guess what? He knows exactly who that'll work on. Yeah. So, you know, people said, I can't go to church because, you know, people are getting sick in church. I can't go to church because, you know, those church people, you know, they don't know how to act, and, you know, they just hurt you. You know, it always amazes me, and I think I said this yesterday, you know, that, I think Shantees may have said it, or somebody may have said it, you know, no matter what happens at that job, I don't care what happens at that job, no matter what they do, no matter what they say, you go back, and you don't make any excuses, you go back to that nasty, rotten boss, supervisor, and manager you got, to that nasty, rotten, and mean coworker. And, you know, we don't let that discourage us. But as soon as something happens in the church house, yeah, we run it for the dough. And these days and times, they're not doing what they used to do. They used to church hop. They're not church hopping no more. They're like, yeah, leave for one church and, you know, go to the next. And when you look up there and somebody else's church, no. People are leaving church all together. Yep. They don't care. They don't care at all. So you don't want to be that fair weather individual who just, you know, as the Bible says, you know, everywhere the wind blows, you know, unstable, you know, wishy-washy. You don't want to be that. You want to show God that you're not a coward, because he said those people will not enter into the kingdom. And we don't want to be sitting on the outside. And Shanti says, I don't want to sit on the left. I don't want to be on the left. So that's what we talked about yesterday. Just, you know, what's going on with the church folk? All right. Well, today is why. Monday. Yes, we have made it safely to the middle of the week. And we gonna see what today brings. You know, we got our girl Vivian on deck to bring us our socially conscious segment. We've got the lady who comes to chat. And we've got, you know, on board our Pastor Charlotte to give us that faith over fear. And, let's see what goes on today. Let's see what kind of blessings that is going down today. Okay? So, let's get it going. Let's go get that healthy breakfast. Let's go tell somebody that it's due time, but Pastor Steph is on. And make sure you go nowhere, because we'll be right back.
June is National Safety Month, and as Americans get back on the road, a lot of things have changed, but not the need for drivers to be safe. Every day on our roads, people are making a difference by practicing good driving habits and following traffic safety laws. So please, put your phone away, drive sober, always wear your seatbelt, never speed, and remember, officers are enforcing traffic safety laws in our communities to save lives, including possibly yours. Let's keep moving forward together. Safely.
Good morning, good morning, and good morning again. Welcome back to A Due Time with Pastor Steph. And it is Wow Wednesday. Yes, as I said a minute ago, you know, God has graciously ushered us into the middle of the week. You know, some people are trying to figure out how they're going to get through this day. You know, they call it hump day. And it's difficult, because you're trying to get from the beginning of the week to the end of the week. And I'm so glad we serve a God that we don't have to figure this thing out. Oh, yeah. Well, remember, it's National Safety Month. And, you know, I was looking at some different ads to play. And, you know, you just don't think about how many areas we need to be safe. Yes. So you got, like, what we just heard, National Safety Month, traffic. You know, driving. Make sure you're driving. Not, you know, it's funny. Not just driving, you know, drunk or under the influence, but driving tired has really been the cause of quite a few traffic accidents. And you know, you got to make sure you're alert on these roads, because, you know, if you drive, you'll see how crazy and unpredictable these people are. Yeah, they're just ridiculous. So if you don't have your eyes on the road, if your mind is not sharp and alert, who knows if you're going to make it home. So we're going to make sure that you're not going to be responsible for anyone else not making it home or sending someone else to the emergency room. You know, we're going to make sure that you get enough rest before you get behind that wheel, that you're not texting, that you're not speeding. Yeah, and we're not going to just do it for this month, right? Nah, we're not going to just do it for this month. We're going to do it going forward. Today is a new day, and we're going to get started with some good habits. Right? All right, well, today is Wild Wednesday, and there's only one way we get this day started. So let's say good morning to our girl Vivian. Good morning, Viv.
Morning. Happy Wild Wednesday. How are you, Pastor Seth?
I'm doing well, thank you, Vivian. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you.
Glad to hear. What you got for us this morning?
Today on Socially Conscious, we're going to take a look at those COVID numbers. Top five states with the highest COVID cases in the last 7 days are California, still in that number one spot with 128,276 cases. That is an increase of over 23,000 cases since last week. Florida is number two with 72,208 cases. That is a small increase of over 500 cases since last week. Texas is number three with 47,532 cases. That is a decrease of over 7,000 cases for Texas. Illinois is number four with 28,866 cases. That is a decrease of over 3,000 cases since last week. And North Carolina is number five with 24,924 cases. That is a decrease of over 2,000 cases since North Carolina was in our top five since last month. So as we can see, we've seen some decreases this week, which is great. Not sure what's going on with Cali with such large numbers and high increases, but hopefully they'll be able to get it together. But all in all, I don't think these week numbers were too bad. And for our next story, I always like to keep you guys alert on scams, recalls, and potential dangers. So we are starting with a warning from Fisher-Price and the U.S. Product Safety Regulators. They are warning parents not to let their infants fall asleep in the company's rockers after 13 infants died in the devices between 2009 and 2021. The deaths happened when the babies fell asleep in the Fisher-Price's infant to toddler and newborn to toddler rockers. The company, along with the U.S. Consumer Product Safety Commission, said the rockers should never be used for sleep and infants should never be left alone unsupervised or unrestrained in them. A new rule requiring that infant sleep products have a sleep surface angle of 10 degrees or less will go into effect next week. So they are not recalling the products, but they are just reminding parents and caregivers of the safety precaution when it comes to infants and these rockers. So next, we have a new potential danger that has hit the streets. They're saying it's in Tennessee. I've seen it. I've seen some articles saying it was in other areas too, but for some reason, it's really high in Tennessee right now. And I'm pretty sure it'll be hitting other states in due time. So authorities are saying if you see a folded dollar bill laying on the ground, to leave it there. Reports say that a folded dollar bill was found containing a substance that tested positive for fentanyl. Reports say a dollar bill was picked up by a person at a gas station who reported finding a white powdery substance inside. Another report says a person found a $10 bill that tested positive for having meth and fentanyl in that $10 bill that was folded up and left on the ground. So I understand these gas prices are getting crazy and times is hard, but please, no matter how high that bill is, just leave it there because you could be putting yourself into a very dangerous situation. Our next story is involving a viral TikTok trend that I believe we have talked about here on Socially Conscious before, and that is the pallet gun trend. A woman spent some time in an ICU after suffering from a collapsed lung and a fractured rib after being shot in the back with a pallet gun. Gianna Federelli says she was walking home from the Valley Fair Mall in California when she was shot in the back by someone driving by. A paramedic told Vitarelli's father that she was the fourth pellet gun victim that day at the hospital. Possibly all of this is due to a social media trend. Police are referring to this challenge as the Orbeez Splatterball Challenge, which involves participants shooting random people with water pellet guns. So parents, make sure you're checking your kids' rooms, check their phones, talk to them, and make sure they are not a part of this trend because people are getting seriously hurt. And who knows, your child may be facing some criminal charges because they want to be involved in this TikTok trend. Next, I found an interesting story I wanted to share. Reports said a four-year-old in Houston, Texas, was accidentally given a vasectomy when he went in for a hernia removal. So, of course, the name of the child as well as the family is being withheld at the moment, but they are saying that this four-year-old went into the hospital to have a hernia removed in his groin area when the doctor accidentally gave him a vasectomy during the procedure. Online records reveal the surgeon has no history of malpractice and has zero issues that has been reported before this, but the family's biggest concern is how this may affect their child, of course, physically and his ability to have children in the future. They're saying that he'll have a hard time having to explain this to potential partners. And the lawyer is saying that thanks to medical technology, this could all be reversed. And we know, or if you don't know, vasectomies can be reversed, but that does not always guarantee that you'll be able to have kids. So it's just very unfortunate that this four-year-old boy had this done to him at, like, such a very young age. And I don't know, maybe it's just me, but it's giving that force sterilization that they used to do to us back in the day when they used to force the women to get their tubes tied to, you know, stop them from having kids. So I found this story to be very interesting, and I think they need to keep an eye on that doctor. And now for our wow story of the week. So a couple of weeks ago, we came up with a list of jobs that if you have anger management issues, you may want to stay away from. And that list so far has been teachers and fast food workers. And now we got to add delivery workers to the list because reports say that a 26-year-old delivery worker shot a 17-year-old Chick-fil-A employee over an argument about a milkshake. So witnesses say initially the server came out with an order, which the driver reportedly said was missing a second milkshake. When asked to see a receipt, police say the driver pulled out a gun and put it on his lap. The server then recruited his team leader, who asked for the order back. Finally, a manager came out and the driver pulled away. Police say the driver then circled back and fired one shot at the Chick-fil-A entrance, striking the team leader. After a short pursuit, officers found the car abandoned in an alleyway with no one inside. And now here's the part that got me. A man approaches the car and told police officers he was not driving the car, but he needed his belongings from inside the car. So he was taken into custody after police recognized the tattoo on his neck. The victim, who has been released from the hospital, thank God, later identified him. To me, he might as well have turned himself in. How you go back to the car with the police officer standing there like, oh, can I just grab my stuff out of this car that was just used in a drive-by? Now you face impossible attempted murder charges over a milkshake. And Chick-fil-A milkshakes are good, and Shanti's be banning people from coming back to church if you go to Chick-fil-A and not bring her back a milkshake. But I don't think these milkshakes are murder-worthy. But this has been Vivian with Socially Conscious, giving you the news that we are following. And remember, if you have any wild stories you would like to submit, please feel free to direct message me on Facebook. My username there is VivianBM. And come back every Wednesday to find out if your story has been chosen. Thank you, as always, to our loyal listeners. And thank you, Pastor Steph.
Oh, my goodness gracious. Thank you, Vivian. Oh, my. Well, let's go over these COVID numbers. Let's go over COVID numbers. Well, you were saying, you know, you don't know what's up with COVID. Girl, where you been? The Golden State Warriors have been playing in the finals for the NBA. Yeah.
So, that makes sense.
Yes. Like I was saying to you a couple of weeks ago, you know, amazingly, there are a million people in this arena. Nobody, I mean, very, very, very few people. You could really count on your right hand, Viv, how many people actually have on a mask. And the Celtics, their coach, he kills me. He's always got the mask on, but it's underneath his chin. You know how you hang it, have it hanging from the chin, just kind of pull it down and underneath your chin? That's a Deshaunty brother. Now, like, why? Why do we even bother to have this on? Because it is completely useless. Never, baby, never has this on. So it does not surprise me, because especially with the finals being played there, you know, the arena is absolutely packed. What is puzzling me, though, is how Boston isn't in the top five for your numbers, because they say, unlike any other basketball team, Boston's arena is always filled to the capacity. They said that like a month or so ago, when they were playing in the playoffs. They're like, well, Boston's arena is always, seats are sold out. They are always jam-packed. So I'm like, how have they not? Because they, too, have no masks on. And you remember, Vivian, when this COVID first started, they were talking about us yelling, screaming, singing, because the projectiles, you know, would cause, you know, the spread of the virus. So with all these screaming, let's go, Celtics. Let's go, Celtics. I'm like, how are these people not getting sick? So that kind of answers as to what's going on out in Cali. So maybe, hopefully they'll win tomorrow, and then the numbers will start going down. So
hopefully, yes.
But it was another one I wanted to talk to you about. You know, I did see your story about the folded bill, but I did not actually pick it up. Now, are they saying that just at the touch of the meth or the fentanyl that you're going to die?
I don't know about meth, but we have done stories where, like, the officer, he was just next to it. And he started, like, overdosing, and his partner had to save him.
Yes,
so I know with the fentanyl,
that.
It's like just being near it, and you can overdose on it. So I'm not sure what the meth thing is about, but, yeah, the fentanyl is dangerous.
I did vaguely remember us doing a story about just being near it and it being toxic. But I just thought I'd ask. And there was another one I wanted to get at you for. Now, Vivian, what is going on? Now, it's one thing to be mistakenly circumcised, but how are you mistakenly given a vasectomy? What is that?
Right.
A hernia tear? How do
that's
you
what I said. They need to watch him.
Yeah. You know, this is a 4-year-old child, and
why would you need to give a 4-year-old child a vasectomy? Because I'm going to tell you something. When it comes to these types of procedures, they're real, real careful about making it smooth. Because even though these things are reversible, it's not easy. B, they really don't like doing it. And most times, you have to sign, like when you first request it, and then you have to sign that right before the procedure is done. So, so in other words, what I'm saying is, let's say for argument's sake, you're not going to just ask for, especially here in the United States, you're not just going to ask for a vasectomy just because on a 4-year-old. So needless to say, you know, they're going to ask you, like, questions, and they're going to be, you know, looking at all of the issues that are surrounding this, you know, this cause. And so I can't even imagine you making a mistake like that, Viv. That just doesn't even make any sense to me. We ain't even talking about a man. So I don't know. I agree with you. You better be real careful about, you know, who he does surgery on. I agree.
Right.
I agree 100%. And I agree. Your wild story. He should go down for the dumb criminals. He should definitely go down for the dumb criminals because that was stupid. You know,
really,
that makes no sense at all for you to even be standing near the car. It's almost like the arsonist who goes back and he watch after, you know, when the fire department comes. But for you to ask, because see, you knew your cover was blown, because when they access the car, they're going to see it's your stuff. They're going to see it's registered to somebody you know and all of this kind of stuff. And they're going to catch up with you anyway. But I'm not turning myself in.
Right.
Oh, my goodness. Thank you so much, Vivian, for giving us our socially conscious segment today. And we pray you have a blessed day.
Thank you. You too.
All righty. Thank you. Thank you. Oh, my goodness. So we've got like this really weird situation going on, everybody. So you know what today is. Today is Wow Wednesday, where we have our Women of Worship on. And man, when I tell you this is some situation, but you know what? I serve a God who is always on his job. So other night teacher was supposed to be on today, and I just got a text from her just as I was like literally saying this to you just now. It just popped up on the phone. But I'm looking at the time and I see she's not on. She's traveling for work today and was hoping to be on. And she can't be on. She said there was an unexpected change. Our lady Tamika called last night and was discussing this change of work thing. And Pastor Kim, with her promotion, has a shift in her hours. So I didn't think she was going to be on. And now Pastor Kim is the only one on with us this morning. So let me just so happily say good morning to my Pastor Kim. Good morning.
Good morning. This is so funny. Why did the Holy Spirit say, you got to get on. She needs you today.
This
is what I heard. Oh, God. Woo! This is what God said.
Wow.
You know, I'm off for the summer now. You know.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
That's right. School has ended there. Wow. I'm so glad
you listened to
the Lord. I'm so glad you listened to the leading of the Lord. Oh, my goodness, Pastor Ken. I have been missing your voice. At any time any of my due time crew is not on, I just go through some withdrawal. And I was like, wow, Pastor Kim, man. And like I said, Elder Natisha did, you know, we were hoping that she would be on. And yesterday when Lady Tamika told me about her situation, I was like, okay, God. Now, I'm not going to put this on the enemy, Pastor Kim, because, you know, sometimes when God, you know, is shifting things, we always put it on the enemy. And I'm like, you know what, God, you put this crew together. You put this crew together. I'm not going to fret. I'm not shivering in my boots. I said, if Shantice and I got to rock until it's time for faith over fear, we just going to have to do what we do. And not even thinking about school is finished, but I know you're going to be doing summer school. But, you know, listen, I'll take it. Thank you so much. It's so wonderful to hear your voice. And I got up this morning and I thought about you. And I was like, wow, did she realize how much I miss her already? And here you are today.
Wow, this is definitely a wow moment, right?
Yes, it is. Yes, it can. Let's get to talking. We do have Shantice who's going to be joining us, so we won't be alone, and you won't have to just endure my voice for the whole time you're on. But we've got Vivian's wow stories today, and, you know, I want to talk about this TikTok story where, you know, there's this water pellet gun challenge. And, you know, it's always something that's dangerous, Pastor Kim. And this woman was shot in the back with the water pellet gun, and she ended up suffering a collapsed lung and I think something else. But, yeah, you know, but can you imagine being shot in the back, excuse me, with the water pellet gun and you have a collapsed lung? So, you know, when we are arbitrarily, you know, shooting at people or targeting people, we don't have any idea what's going on with their bodies. So here you are, if you're caught, you know, now you're facing some type of, you know, charge for something you didn't even know could have happened, all because you're working on some stupid prank or challenge. You know what I'm saying?
Right. That's crazy.
You know, it's scary because, you know, we leave our homes and we think that we're fine. We think we're fine. And we're not even talking, Pastor Kim, about something like dangerous, like a shotgun or, you know, some, you know, rifle. We're talking about pellet gun, a water pellet gun, and now you have a collapsed lung, and we don't even know how things are going to, you know, go forward for this woman and her health.
Right. Wow, that's unfortunate. Oh. Talking about a freak accident.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, it's just all of this stuff is going on, and you know, you go back to your saying, you know, all of this stuff is going on and, you know, we leave our homes to, you know, hope to go back. And, you know, we don't know why we won't make it home, why we won't make it home, why we won't make it home. And the reasons are becoming so minute that it's just really something that you really got to stay in prayer over.
Oh, yeah, that's why we really have to pray. You know, we really have to be so ever prayerful, you know, always. We have to pray without ceasing. And I always pray that the Lord will cover and protect us from seen and unseen dangers, because sometimes you just don't know where danger lies. You know,
right?
You don't know when the drunk driver is out on the road. They don't intentionally want to hit somebody. You know,
absolutely.
You know, you got stray bullets. You know, because somebody is out shooting. You know, I saw where a young girl lost her life. I believe it was a week or so ago. The girl was in her home, and the bullet came from the yard, from the whoever it was that was shooting, you know, across the alley or something, or behind them. And this young girl lost her life, you know. That bullet wasn't even intended for her, you know. So, you know, we just have to pray, you know, and always just make sure that we are ready, you know, when the time comes, you know, for us to leave here, for God to call our number, because the enemy is, he is always on the prowl, always,
absolutely,
constantly, you know, just going to and fro, seeking who he can devour and just, you know, stealing, killing, destroying, you know. So he's on his job. We got to be on ours too, you know.
Absolutely. He never sleeps nor slumbers. And we tend to hold our guard down like nothing is going to happen. And, you know, it's true. Once you get in your home, you're not guaranteed safety, because there have been many a people in their home and, you know, something happens and, you know, they don't make it. So you really can't say once you get behind locked doors for the night or for the day, you know, that you're going to be fine. Pastor Kim, are you ready for this story? So you have this four-year-old who goes in for a hernia repair operation, who ends up with a mastectomy.
Well, he ends up with what?
A vasectomy.
Huh?
Yeah, you heard right. Thanks to Vivian.
Wait a minute. A four-year-old?
A four-year-old. A four-year-old. And, you know, they say that this doctor has never had, you know, any type of incident like this in his history. But, Pastor Kim, how in the world do you make this kind of an error? You know, it's not even like a circumcision for a four-year-old, like maybe it didn't get done when, you know, when he was first born, and now the parents have, you know, changed their mind and they're getting it done. A whole vasectomy, and they're hoping that maybe down the line he can possibly get, you know, a reversal on his vasectomy. But, you know, that's not guaranteed, because even when they do the reversal, it's not guaranteed that you will be able to produce any babies. Oh, my goodness.
Right.
What comes to your head?
Well, I mean, first of all, how? We're talking about a four-year-old kid that's not even of age to even be.
Right.
It's,
right.
Performing the act to have kids. So I'm sorry.
Right.
Somebody got to make that make sense, because that's not making no sense.
That's crazy. You're just as speechless as I was when Vivian said it. It took a minute. I was glad she had some other news, because I was stuck. Because that's the first thing I thought, Pastor Kim. I'm like, he can't have sex. So why would a four-year-old be getting a vasectomy unless it was like some real medical issue? And I can't even say. Let me tell you something, Pastor Kim. I have been in surgery at least 14 times. At least. On my stomach. By itself. Nothing else.
Mm-hmm.
But anytime I've had surgery, the surgeon speaks to you before the surgery, Pastor Kim.
Yeah. and confirms what you're having surgery for.
Right. Right. Especially since in times gone by, there have been mistakes such as the right leg should have been cut off, but they cut off the left leg, or it was the hand and they ended up doing, you know, the arm. You know, because these mistakes have been made, they're even being more precautious. I can't imagine you not even speaking to these parents prior to the procedure where you would go in and make this kind of quote-unquote error.
Right.
Crazy. Crazy.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That one, that don't even make sense because that would fall definitely on a parent when you're talking about a four-year-old kid. You know,
right.
Anybody right. underage that's having any kind of surgical procedures, you would think that the doctor would have to speak to an adult before
right.
the procedure being done.
Right.
This don't have nothing to do with that four-year-old.
Right. Here. Right. 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 Your conversation takes place with the parents. You're going over several things that, you know, they need to know. You want to ask these extra questions, all kind of things. I can't even imagine this kind of era coming up. Let me talk
yeah.
to Shanti's for a little bit, Pastor Kim, and see what's going on in her head when you talk about some of these stories. And we're going to be back to talk about our wow story for the morning. Thank you so much for pressing your way to be with us this morning. You're a lifesaver, girl. You're a lifesaver. Shanti's, good morning.
Good morning, ladies.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. Oh, you're amongst the elite this morning, all by your lonesome.
I know. I feel so blessed, like the chosen people.
How are you today?
Fine, thank you. How are you?
Oh, I'm well, thank you. I'm well. All right, so we're talking about this TikTok water pellet challenge. And, you know, they're making a challenge, since we've been talking on this, is due time. They make a challenge out of everything. And, you know, there's this woman who's shot in the back with the water pellet gun. And initially, Vivian didn't say water pellet. So when she ended up saying water pellet later, I'm like, and somebody's got a collapsed lung from being hit in the back with a water pellet gun. So now, you know, you end up being charged, if ever caught, with something stupid and causing some potential lifelong condition in somebody.
When she was talking about it and when you were speaking about it with Pastor Kim, I had to look it up online because I'm like, what kind of gun is this that shoots out water but has the impact on my body that could cause this kind of damage? Like, how are they making these water guns now? I mean, there have been. So when I pulled it up and then I hit images, some of them look like the old school water guns, you know, like back like maybe when I was like just about to hit a teenager, you know, the old school when I was younger. And now they have water guns that look like real guns. So I don't know it's not a good thing that this happened to her, but is this another way for them to just take anything looking like a gun off the market, period? Because some of these guns look like, almost look like BB guns, and a lot of BB guns look like real guns.
Wow.
You know, so I don't know, but I just want to know what kind of forces this water comes that it'll cause this type of damage to your body. That's crazy
yeah.
to me.
But especially from the back. We're not
right.
even talking about from the front. We're talking about from the back. So, I mean, even, you know, it might be a little hard to believe if it comes, you know, from the front. But when you're talking about, I got hit in the back with a water pellet gun, So in other words, you already don't know the breakdown of someone's body, that something
exactly.
like that could cause such damage. And that's why you can't be doing these stupid challenges. Because, you know, it's almost like when someone goes into a house to rob somebody and then the person ends up being dead, you know, dying because they died of a heart attack. You know what I'm saying? So now you charge with the person having a heart attack when all you did was go in and steal, you know, some jewelry. So, you know, you really got to be more mindful of the impact that you can have on someone's life, you know, just when you're doing these stupid challenges.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my goodness.
They need to have a put the gun down challenge.
You know, how about that one? Or turn
right.
your guns in challenge.
Right.
So we got this accidental vasectomy. Oh, wait, hold on. Vivian says it wasn't just a water gun. It's a water. Wait, hold on. She says it wasn't just a water gun. It's water beads. So it's like a BB gun. Wow. Okay.
Now that makes a little more sense now.
Right. Well, thank you, Vivian, for the clarification. Well, yes, it does make more sense now because we all know that
water
BB guns. Right. Water beads.
What are water beads?
You know, okay, like the little, like, clear, like, they could be like gel. And they have
so almost like the stuff you buy? Is it almost like the stuff you buy to put in the vases?
It could be, yes. I've seen that. But, of course, it must be hard plastic. You know what I'm saying? It must be hard plastic. So now you have,
because
this is the thing to do. Because this is the thing to do. Thanks again, Vivian, for that clarification, because now it makes a little more sense. So, Shantish, you have this four-year-old who goes in for a hernia repair and comes out with a vasectomy.
I think the doctor picked up one of them dollar bills that had meth on it on his way to work and got high and went straight into that surgery. I ain't nowhere near the medical field. I've never had a desire to be in the medical field. And I'm really trying to figure out how you end up doing that to a baby. It would be bad enough if you did that to a grown man. How you end up doing now? I have been blessed and I have to undergo any surgeries, but I had a surgery done last June. And not only did they speak to me before the surgery, but they spoke to me in the OR right before they said count backwards. And I don't think I got to the first number. So how is it that, I don't even think I got to 10. How is it that, because I'm pretty sure he wasn't in there by himself before. Or even if he was, you know, you speak to whomever. Because not only did the surgeon speak to me, but the anesthesiologist spoke to me.
Right.
And, you know,
right.
So I don't understand. So unless everyone was just finding money that was laced with stuff on their way to work, I really don't understand how that could happen.
My question is also, how do you explain yourself after that?
Right.
Well, you have to sit before the board and you have to explain how you made that level of mistake, knowing that you had this clear record. You know, you've never had this issue before. You know, how do you now sit before a board and tell someone that you've made this level? I'm going to tell you something. And you ladies, let me know. I know we are entitled to make mistakes. But I'm sorry.
I was
you
just
have
thinking
to
that.
You got to come about that surgery profession. You'd have to do some internal medicine where you only see people when their knees hurt or, you know, when they say their arm is sore. You have to come for Pastor Kim, you know, I know we're all entitled to make mistakes, but for this particular level of error, my personal thing would be you have to stop having surgery. You couldn't be no surgeon.
Right.
Surgeon, no. Am I being too severe?
Oh, absolutely not. Your license definitely would have to be taken from you. Really. Absolutely. I am in total agreement with that. That, I don't know how many other mistakes he might have made, but that one there, that would have to have shut his practice down. Period. No ifs and buts about it. No, that's unacceptable. That could have cost that child's life.
Right. 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 That just goes to show you the level of error that you could make. Shanti, am I the only one who's, are we the only ones who feel that way?
No, I don't think I'd trust you to get a bag of chips for me. You might come back with the wrong type. Man, that's serious enough. That's serious enough. You're talking about this. No, because like you said, Pastor Steph, even diagnose someone's knee pain, I don't trust that. You might talk about my elbows. I'm in here for my toe. No, thank you. No, because you have a serious problem with your attention span. That's one of the things this is telling me. So I don't know how old you are. Maybe you should have retired already, because I've been noticing that with a lot of people who are at that retiring age. They just don't want to retire. For whatever the reason, no, you need to sit down somewhere. It's time for you to sit down.
Yeah.
It's time to
have
sit down. Because the attention, right, the attention ain't where it used to be. So now you just sit and reminisce on all the years you were practicing medicine and leave this now to the young, fresh minds, because we can't afford for this to happen again. No, because that's just as careless as if someone switched the chart. You know, how many times have we heard that?
Right.
Somehow
right.
the chart got switched up. That wasn't, you know, necessarily the doctor who switched the chart, but that person made a mistake, and because this person didn't follow up, now they helped to make the mistake continue. And no. You know.
Yeah.
It's time. No. Forced retire. I don't know if that's a thing or whatever term they have for it, but it's time to just hang that white coat up. That's it. No. Nothing to do with medicine at all.
I think about even the fact of, you know, a lot of these doctors, you know, because they're not God, you know, and they make mistakes,
right.
but the risk that they have to take when, you know, people are undergoing any surgical procedure and they are under anesthesia or what have you, you know, there's always risks. But, you know, I think about just like my life when I was coming up and when I first found out that I was pregnant 3 times, this doctor was negligent and told me I wasn't, you know, and because of his negligence, my parents sued him. Another time, my youngest sister that was born with cerebral palsy brain damage, she had seizures. And when she was in the nursing home, they increased the medication too strong, which caused her to have a heart attack. So another negligent doctor, you know. But back then, you know, when these doctors were negligent at that time, because we're talking about over 30 years ago, but, you know, my parents sued the doctors both times, but it's still, you know, you're talking about a life, you know, what they gave us, it did not bring her back, you know, it cannot compensate for the error that you made in giving her too much medication, you know, to make her lose her life. I mean, wow. You know, something as simple as that, she could still be here with us.
Right. Absolutely. I absolutely agree. And it's funny because as we were talking, I think about when I pray, when someone is going into some type of procedure. And I don't care how minor the procedure is. You know, I'm praying for the doctor, the staff, the nurse, the anesthesiologist. I'm praying for sterile tools. I'm praying that they didn't counted the tools properly. I'm praying that the machinery is working properly. Because just like you said, Pastor Kim, any false move, false move, I'm praying that, you know, the doctor didn't got enough sleep. Because I remember a couple times where I always get, I'm like fine at 8:01, and by 8:03, it's like, okay, you need surgery. It's never any preparation. And I remember this one particular time I got sick and went to the doctor's office and sat in there for like an hour and a half. And he sent me over to the emergency room and said, I'm calling, I'll be there later. And we left him in a jam-packed office. He served all those people and then had to come to the hospital to do surgery. And he came in, he had like some Chinese food with him, and he was like, okay, I'm going to, you know, eat, get some rest. He said, and then I was like, yes, please rest. Yeah, because, you know, there's a lot of stuff going on, and these people got to be on point. They've got to be on point. And this is indicative of why they need to be on point. Like you said, Pastor Kim, maybe they gave too much medication. And Shanti, you know, you gave instances. You know, all you need to do is for that one thing to go wrong. And like you said, no matter how much money they compensate you with, it just does not reverse the error that was made. It doesn't bring back the life that's lost. So just like Vivian was saying, even though, you know, later on they may be able to, you know, give him a reversal on this vasectomy, but there's no guarantee that he'll still be able to make babies. So you know the parents are going after. You know that. But at the end of the day, you know, just like they said, they're concerned about how, you know, how now he has to explain to people, you know, or let's not say people, but, you know, the woman that he's married to, you know, that he can't have children and, you know, stuff like that, or the woman he wants to marry, because let's hope he has this conversation before they get married. But, you know, it's just these unexpected things that come up in life. And, you know, of course, we think of a million other things that could be, you know, in God's plan, blah, 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 blah. We ain't going there. We're talking right now about just the negligence of, you know, just these doctors. Ladies, let's talk about this anger management issue of this. And let me see if Vivian's on so she can give this story again, and I don't have to do this recap. Vivian, are you available?
Yeah, kind of.
Okay. Can you give us a recap on your wow story, please?
Sure. So it was a delivery man, you know, like Uber Eats or Postmates kind of thing. And he went to Chick-fil-A to pick up an order for a customer. And when the people brought out the order, he said it was missing a milkshake. So they asked him for his receipt. But instead of pulling out a receipt, he pulled out a gun and put it on his lap, kind of to intimidate the server. And the server went and got the manager and the team leader and things like that. So eventually the man drove away, came back around, and shot one shot inside the Chick-fil-A and winded up shooting a 17-year-old team leader. He drove off, left his car in an alleyway. The cops found the car with no one in it. And then he walks up to the cops saying, like, oh, you know, I wasn't driving this car, but can I get my things out of there? And they noticed the tattoo on his neck, and they arrested him. And then later on, the boy, that was the guy who shot me. And, yeah, it was just like, why would you call up to the cops and say, oh, I wasn't driving the car, but can I just grab my stuff real quick? So that was the situation.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much, Viv. So there you have it, ladies. You have this, like I said, he should go down for dumb criminals. You know, really, really.
That's not even first 48 worthy.
Absolutely. Pastor Kim, what comes to your head when you hear this dumb, wow story?
What is wrong with these people?
You know, I just, you know, it's like the looseness with these guns nowadays it's insane. It's insane, and it's just, oh, Lord help today. You know, we really just have to pray. We got to pray. We got to plead the blood, because when I tell you that people are losing their everlasting mind, you know, just the mindset of people and the things that they are doing is just off the chart.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You know, they have really used guns to really feel, they really feel like guns can solve the problem. I don't understand it. This is just the ultimate problem solver. You complain
yep.
that the sheikh is incorrect.
Mm-hmm.
And because they ask you for your receipt. Instead of you producing the receipt to prove that, you know, I got a chocolate shake instead of the vanilla shake that I ordered, and we want to backtrack and see, you know, was it in the order process that it was wrong, or was it someone who actually made the shake that was wrong, or maybe
you
somebody picked up the wrong, gave it to you. You know, let's backtrack, and, you know, we're sorry, we want to try to correct this error. And you take out a gun. You take out a gun to solve the problem. You know, what are we talking about here, Shantika, when we're talking about, you know, guns are now here to solve the problem? That's what people are thinking.
Well, real quick, I just want to put a stamp on what Vivian said about how I feel about Chick-fil-A shakes. They are very serious to me. However, I don't know about using a gun to solve the discrepancy between you giving me the wrong shake or me missing one. Because what came to mind first, too, is how much of a tip did you think you was going to lose because you was missing a shake? Ain't nobody tipping DoorDash people that much. But now, when you're talking about people using a gun to solve their issues, if he had a tattoo on his neck that the cops recognize, more than likely he's in a gang. So he already has anger management issues, and this is their language. You know, I don't like the way you cross the street. So let me pull out this gun and show you that I don't like the way you cross the street, or you have no business walking on my street. So let me pull this gun out to show you that you don't need to be walking on my street. This is just their language. This is how they speak, and I mean, this seems to be the universal language now, whether you're in a gang or not. Especially now, we're talking about someone in a gang. You know, this is how, and then it's like, what gang members are now doing DoorDash? See, all of this is just remedial to me. You know, now gang members are trying to be fake legitimate. I don't know. But it really says a lot for, you know, what anyone is just able to do. Anyone is able to sign up to DoorDash. Now, I don't want no gang members delivering my food. Because now, what if you mad that I don't come to the door that quick? You pull a gun out because you want to show me how quick I get to the door. Like, this is just the language now. This is how we communicate with each other now. This is how we get our point across now. Or before we even get to me wanting to make my point, this is just how I show you that I speak now. And it's ridiculous.
Well, Shantice, in the defense of the delivery driver, they say he had a tattoo that was recognized. Does not necessarily mean it was a gang member. I mean, that could be the case, but it just could be, you know, well, he had a tattoo on his elbow that was a skull and bone. You know, it just could have been a tattoo that I saw that I just would not forget, type of thing. So let's you know, hope that he was not a gang member, but, you know, doesn't necessarily mean he was a gang member. Just want to say. But I do get your point. All right, Pastor Kim, down for the dumbest criminals of the week. So you abandon the car And then you come back while the cops are at the car, and you say, excuse me, sir, I wasn't driving the car, but my stuff is in the car. My belongings in the car. You mind if I get my stuff out the car? I'm with Vivian, Pastor Kim. You might as well go ahead and say, I did it, and turn yourself in. Down for the dumbest criminal of the week or what?
Yes. Yes. I mean, these people have got to be high off of something. You know, their logic and their way of thinking, it don't even make sense.
It does not make sense. It's unbelievable.
Really?
Like, for real?
Really?
Wow.
Yeah.
You really made that up all by yourself. You really own something else. You own something else, sir. Wow.
Yeah, that's a wow, for real.
It is. And that's why it becomes the wow story. Because not only did you pull a gun out over the shake misunderstanding, but then you go back and confess.
You go back.
Indirectly to the crime. What a dope.
That's funny.
Dope. Shantis, we'll give you the final word on this. On this topic today, dumbest criminal of the week,
of the century, dumbest criminal of the century. I ain't never heard of something more remedial in my life. So it was bad enough you ditched the car. Nah, it couldn't have been that far away from the crime scene. I'm assuming.
Right. It's
so
you
dumb enough to ditch the car?
Yes.
Probably in the next in the. Because sometimes there's restaurants, fast food restaurants right next to each other. So you probably ditched the car in between two fast food restaurants. It was probably Chick-fil-A and Wendy's and the alleyway in between those two, and that's where you ditched the car. Then, see, this is what happens when you ain't got no plan. So you hop out the car forgetting you probably left something in there with your name on it. And it's like, oh, snap, the cops are over there. Well, let me go retrieve what has my name because your prints are all over the car. You can't get that off. Let me go get something that has my name on it before the cops go in there and get that. And you really think, even if the crime didn't take place, let's just say the cops just was patrolling the area and just saw an abandoned car and went over there to see why this car was here in this alleyway. You don't think they would even grill you about that? Like, oh, so you know this car? Why is this car here? You don't think they would ask you anything? They'd say, oh, sure, no problem. Go ahead and get your stuff. And then let you go in there and get something and walk off. So what did you leave in there, the gun? It's just like, they need to start screening these DoorDash people, man. I don't want this kind of person delivering my jerk chicken. That's just too much.
Well, not only that, Shantish, you talk about leaving belongings in the car. If you're driving the car, it's somehow connected to you. So even if you borrowed your sister's car, and they find the registration and they ask your sister, do you drive a 1974 blue Pontiac? No, but my brother, I loaned it to my brother. He had it. Then it's going to be on you anyway. So either way, it's coming back to you. So even if you abandoning the car was stupid. Because even if you borrowed it or leased it, rented it, it's going to come back to you. So you know what's funny, Shanti? I said the same thing to myself. I said, well, there you go again. No plan.
Mm-hmm.
No forethought, you know, okay, you know, if I pull this gun out and, you know, it's just not only that. Let's talk about you then drove around. Remember now, he pulled off and went back.
Mm-hmm.
So you return to the
with no plan.
Right, right. So, you know, just really, it's just, again, you know, this seems to be, I like that word you used. This seems to be the language of today. And unfortunately, this is a language with no thought. Nobody's considered any. Oh, my goodness. Okay, ladies. Thank you for chatting about that. Today, we're talking about symptoms of a hardened heart. Now, if this ain't walked up into this soul, Ray, then, I mean, this ain't walked up into the story. And, you know, we know that everybody's story is not everybody else's story. And, you know, I was looking at something on the TV the other day. Oh, it was last night. And they were trying to tell their boss that he had an anger problem. And he was a captain, and one of the team members went in to talk to him about the fact that he had just stopped seeing a therapist, and they thought it was too soon. He should have continued to go. And they were showing him, by talking about the different things he had done, you know, pick up on the signs that you've got anger management issues. And he was angry, and he says, listen, all of you who say this, he said it to his girlfriend later, she says the same thing to him, and she says, you know, he goes, all of you people who are saying I have an anger management problem is wrong. Now, I just got finished telling somebody else the other day, if everybody else is saying this, I'm sorry, it ain't everybody else. You really need to take a step back and survey and go before the Lord. So, you know, today we're going to talk about symptoms of a hardened heart and pulling out a gun when there's an issue over a shake, I would like to say, is a symptom of an issue. But they say hopelessness. Hopelessness is a sign of a hardened heart. Pastor Kim, what comes to your head when you hear hopelessness?
Well, you know, it would make sense, you know, if you're feeling hopeless, if you're feeling worthless, if you're feeling that, you know, purposeless, then it's like you're like a ship without a sail. You're just kind of existing. And so it would explain why you have the attitude that you have. You know, you don't feel like you really have anything that's worth living for. So, you know, your actions are kind of lining up with the way that you feel about yourself. So, you know, it's unfortunate that people, you know, get to that place. But, you know, in this day and time, we see it even more, the state of mind and just, you know, I just try to at least make it make sense. And maybe some of the pandemic, you know, and us going through what we've been through, you know, the recession and just everything, life, it can cause you to go into a dark place. And that's why it's so very important to have a relationship with God so that, you know, even in those dark hours, in those times of despair and those days of uncertainty, that you could go to the rock.
Amen, amen, amen. Chantis, you know, they say a sign of a hardened heart is hopelessness. Where's the connection for you?
Well, when you're hopeless, there's no point in anyone saying anything to you because there will be no revelations. There will be no aha moments. There will be nothing because you don't have any hope that things can turn around, that things can get better. So even if someone is talking to you and they're making sense, you're rejecting what they're saying. You're rejecting help. You're rejecting, you know, God obviously won't be able to come to you, you know, a little more directly. So even if he tries to now reach you through other things or other people, but you just keep rejecting it because it's like nothing's going to help me. Nothing anyone says. I definitely can't speak to myself. I can't talk to myself out of this. So now it's like you're just rejecting everything. And I think that's the connection this makes for me. So what's in the middle of hopelessness and a hardened heart is just the rejection. You're now choosing to just reject everything, rejecting the help, because it's just like you keep convincing yourself that there's no coming out of this.
All right, amen, amen. Pastor Kim, the next thing they mention as an indication of a hardened heart is insensitivity towards others.
Absolutely. You know, yeah, you're going to be insensitive, you know, to other people because it's almost like you don't love yourself, you know. You got a nonchalant attitude. You don't care, you know. So you're going to be insensitive to other people, to their feelings, to their reactions or whatever, because you're numb. You're numb, you know, and it's just like hurt people, you know. And if you're in a broken place and, you know, and you got a stony heart and nobody is able to help you, then you're not able to help anybody else because of the state that you're in. So you're going to be insensitive to other people. You're insensitive to yourself. And if you know, the blind can't lead the blind, period.
Mm-hmm. All right, all right. Shantice, when you have a hardened heart, it's showing through your insensitivity toward other people.
Yes, there's no compassion, no sympathy, no empathy, because it's just always like this, oh, well, yeah, well, you deserve that, or good for you, or that's your problem. You know, there's no connection. You know, when you're sensitive and you have that compassion, you show that compassion stuff, you now leave the door open for there to be a connection with you and that person. So now you're shutting the door on the connection, so your heart is going to stay hardened to whatever they're going through. And now you won't be of any help to them, because in order for you to help someone, there has to be some type of connection there. So your heart is going to stay hardened.
All right, all right. Pastor Kim, worry. They say worry is a sign of a hardened heart. Why would worry be a sign of a hardened heart?
Because worry would be a sign of a hardened heart because, you know, you're in darkness, you know. So all of these signs and characteristics of you being in this dark place, you know, are just exemplifying that you're basically like in a state of depression, you know, because that's the state that you're in. You know, you're lost. Your heart is hard. You know, you can't find your way. So all of these are just signs that just confirm that you really, really need some help.
Okay, okay. Shantice, they're connecting worrying with a hardened heart. Do you put the two together?
I can. When I think about worry, I think about anxiety and panic. And, you know, God tells us biblically, you know, to be anxious for nothing, but to just take all of our requests to Him, and He will take care of everything. So now if I'm spending or wasting, if I'm wasting all of my time choosing to worry, then now I'm not focusing on the help that's being sent. So now I'm sitting here worrying. So I could be sitting here worrying about how I'm going to pay this bill. Oh, God, you know, my bill is due. My bill is $40. And someone comes, and I only have $10. And someone can come and say, oh, well, you know what, here's $30, like, out of nowhere. Or maybe I owe you $30 or whatever. But it's like, okay, yeah, yeah, thank you, but I need $40. I've had someone, I think I brought this on here before, who needed to borrow money. And they asked me for, let's say they asked me for $5. And I said, okay, I'll give you $10. and they said, okay, well, I need 20, but I'm asking four people for $5. This is what was presented. And I said, okay, like, can I borrow $5? They said, can I borrow $5? I said, okay, well, I can give you 10. Oh, well, no, thank you for the 10. I will send you 5 back because I still got to worry about going to the other 3 people to get the $5. And I'm like, I don't think anyone can get more retarded than this moment right here. I'm going to use the word retarded. So that's retarded. Like, so instead of you having to ask 3 other people, now you only have to ask 2 because I'm giving you more money than what you asked for. But because you're so worried about coming up with this $20, you're not even realizing the help that's being sent, and now your heart is so hardened to the point it's made you stupid. So that's how worry and hardened heart is connected.
Wow. Okay. Gee. What an example.
Wow.
Oh, my goodness. Pastor Gim, they're saying dry devotional time is a sign of a hardened heart. Now tell me that you have not come across that in your pastoring.
You said dry, say it again.
Dry devotional time is the sign of a hardened heart.
You said dry, like DIY?
Right, dry devotional time.
Oh, yeah. I mean, your devotional time is going to be dry because, I mean, it's just like dry, you know. Yeah, my devotional time is going to be dry because my state of mind is dry. You know, my everything is dry. You know, I'm drying up, you know, because, you know, it's like I'm withering away because this is where my mind is. So, you know, I'm sitting there in the service and the anointing is high and everybody else is praising God with their hands lifted up and they're rejoicing and they're in a state of thanksgiving. But because I'm in this depression, because I'm in this dark place, because I'm worrying, because I'm focusing on my bills, because I'm focusing on everything that I got, you know, that's pending against me, you know, I can't break free, you know, so I need to get delivered, you know, because my worship, my everything is dry. And so, you know, when you are in that dry, dark place, you know, only God can water you. Only God can resurrect what might appear to be dead, because it's like you're in the valley of dry bones, basically, is where you are. You're in a valley of dry bones. And so, you know, you need a spiritual CPR is the best way that I could put it. You need a spiritual CPR. You need, you know how somebody, when their heart stops and they put that thing on you to you know, and it kind of wakes you back up. That's what you need in the spirit realm.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Shanti, dry devotional time. And we know you love your dry Christians.
I was just about to say, you know how I feel about these dry Christians. Because you just whack when it comes to how you, your relationship, because you're not going to be dope in your one-on-one time with Jesus, but then you dry when you around other people. So it's like, dag, is that what you give to Jesus? If I'm feeling like this, and you ain't even worshiping me. I don't want to know how he feels. When you're just going and you're sitting before God. And I really had to talk to God about this again yesterday because, you know, when he asks you to do something and, you know, you do it after a while, I'll speak for myself. After a while, it starts to kind of feel ritualistic. And it's like, okay, now I feel like, God, I'm just doing it just to do it. I want to feel, and I know sometimes, you know, God, my time with you is going to hit more time than others. But Do you want me to switch this up sometimes? Do you want me, you know, because me without you, God, you know, after a while I get bored quick. This is without you. Now with you, I definitely don't want to get bored because I don't want to make you feel like that. You know, I want our time together, whether it's intense or not, whether it's for a long time or 5 minutes, I want it to be meaningful all the time. I want you to feel like I want to be in your presence. So now if I'm just sitting here and I'm just reading these verses just to read it, or I'm just listening to this praise and worship music just to listen to it, now if you try to speak to me, I'm not receiving anything. If you tell me, Shantice, go play this song because I need you to meditate on those lyrics, but I'm just like, all right, let me go do this. How am I hearing from you? So now my heart is hardened because there's no wanting to do this. And I think that's what I'm getting from just a dry devotional. There's no desire within me right now to spend this time with you. There's no desire right now with me to talk to you or pray to you. So if there's no desire in it, now it's dry. And now I'm not hearing from you. So now my heart is hardened. And I can't hear from you.
All right, ladies, we're coming down. They say sinful patterns is an indication of a hardened heart. Pastor Kim?
Yes, you're going to have sinful patterns because you're no longer in the spirit, you're in the flesh. And in the flesh dwells no good thing. So when you're in the flesh, you do fleshly things. You know, you're going to do sinful things. You're going to do things that are out of the will of God, you know, because it's like you got a nonchalant, I don't care attitude. You know, like she was talking about, you know, just, you know, okay, some things just becoming redundant, you know, and okay, this is what God will want for me to do, you know, and so I'm just going to do this. You're not even there. You're not even, you know, giving God something to work with. You at a place that you just didn't went, you know, you didn't totally turn straight for the flesh, and you just, you know, you just out there in your sinful ways, you know. The Bible says, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound, you know. So you're in a place that you don't even care anymore. You know, you're like, whatever. This is just where I am. You know, I don't care. You know, hey, you ain't even in a place of repentance or even saying, Lord, well, you know my heart. You just out there, you know. So you just have to, at that point, you really need an encounter. You need a personal encounter with the Holy Spirit to bring you out of darkness back into the marvelous light.
Amen. Shantice, we're talking about sinful patterns is an indication of a hardened heart.
Yes. When we're, I'm sorry, I wanted to read the verse, I didn't want to paraphrase, but one of the verses I pulled up was Romans 8:6. So letting your sinful nature control your mind leads to death, but letting the spirit control your mind leads to life and peace. And there's no peace when we're being sinful. He can't allow there to be peace because then we get even more comfortable. We're comfortable with the dysfunction. If he allowed there to be peace, we really wouldn't budge from being sinful. So now I'm living these sinful habits. And now, again, if God tries to talk, once you start to, especially if you go back to it, like, okay, God brought you out of this, and I'm going back to those same sinful habits, it's going to automatically harden your heart because now you are really willingly making the choice to now do something that's the opposite of observing God and pleasing the Spirit. So your heart is going to be hardened because, again, now there's no room for sound counsel. There's no one, whether he wants to counsel you through the word or if he sends you someone, there's no sound counsel because now I'm choosing to have my head there. I'm choosing to now have my head, like Pastor Kim said, to feed my flesh rather than to feed the spirit. Because once I feed the spirit is going to feed me. when I feed my flesh, it's going to feed me. It's going to feed me in a whole other way that just leads me. And one of the things it feeds you is a hardened heart.
All right. Ah, amen. Pastor Kim, stubbornness. That's our final one that they say is an indication of a hardened heart, stubbornness.
Yes, stubbornness, yes, that's like rebelliousness, you know. And when you're rebellious, you know, and you begin to rebel, that's like a form of witchcraft, you know. So, you know, because your heart, again, is hardened, so you're just going to be stubborn. You're going to be rebellious. You're going to be disobedient, you know. I don't care what they say, you know, regardless to even though you know something is right and somebody is trying to tell you the right way to do things and what you should do, you're just going to be stubborn. So you got a stony heart. You got a stony heart, you know, so you got a heart, you know, that's brick hard, you know. Nobody can get through to you. Nobody can say anything to you because you just set that this is where I am. This is the way I want to be. And only God can help you. Only God can help you to get past being stubborn and disobedient and you know, just in that state that you're in. You know, it's going to take God.
Amen, amen, amen. Shantice, this last tick mark they're giving us today, stubborn.
Yes, when you refuse not to budge, you know, and God is sending you the things that he knows will help you budge, will help you budge, you know, because he's now getting personal with you. But yet you're still choosing to stay, keep your head where it is. You're still choosing to think on the things you're thinking of. You're still choosing to make the choices that you want to make. It is going to keep your heart hardened against what he has, the help that he has for you. And the longer you stay stubborn, the harder your heart is hardened. So now when it comes time when you finally decide to allow God to wake you up, now you have to reverse all that, and that ain't so easy. So if you refuse not to budge, you know, we just have to remember that it now continues to build those walls in between us and God.
Amen. Amen, ladies. Thank you so much. Thank you so very much for your contribution into today's conversation. You've done a magnificent job. Thank you, Shantice, for always filling in for us. And thank you, Pastor Kim, for listening to the leading of the Lord and jumping on. You know, again, what a wonderful surprise. Thank you so much. And we pray that, you know, whenever you have a Wednesday morning moment, you will come back and bless our lives.
Absolutely.
Thank you. Have a blessed day, ladies. Love you, too.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. It's the top of a Wednesday morning, and there's only one road we go down, and that's the Faith Over Fear road. Let's say good morning to our Pastor Charlene. Good morning, Pastor Charlene.
Good morning, Pastor Steph. How are you, my love?
I am well, thank you. How are you?
I am well, thank you.
That's good. That's good. You know, we're talking this morning, Pastor Charlene, about symptoms of a hardened heart. And one of the things that came up is unhealthy fear. Ooh. And I was like, wow, I can't get back to the ladies because Pastor Charlene has definitely got to bring up the rear and about how this unhealthy fear feeds a hardened heart, or how, you know, a hardened heart will render unhealthy fear, either way you want to go, and how faith can conquer this issue. What you got for us this morning, Pastor Charlene?
Yes, if you are a hardened heart and you have fear, fear will stop you from listening. Fear will stop you from doing. Fear will stop you from going to God. Fear will stop you from receiving from others. So when we're in that peace of not accepting anything, it won't allow you to be in the presence of the Lord, because now you have sheltered yourself, and now you won't let not in, just anybody in, but you will have all these crazy thoughts. So you have to be able to want to do the work, and it does. When you are in a state, just like the ladies were saying, when you're in a state and you stay there isolated, because when I say isolate, you could be in a room with everybody. You can be sitting in the church with people praising God, but you isolated yourself and you in this corner because you're so busy listening to nothing of and the enemy and yourself of nothing as good is going to happen to me. So you want to be able to make a way and pull yourself out and just be able to, as we, one of the things of when we being rebellious, instead of being on the other side, come on the faithful side. You know, trust God one step at a time. Trust God and know that he'll be able to deliver you from this. But you can't be delivered if you don't want to. And you have to get to the place where that, you know what, I've done, nothing is working on this end. You know, I'm still feeling the same way that I am. Being in depression, where that you have to take that one step and say, you know what, God, I'm going to try you. I'm going to believe what you say. I'm going to, even if I don't see that it's working today, and it's like crawling out of a hole, you know, continue. If you fell in a hole, you want to try to find your way of getting out. So it's the same thing. Just trust and believe that God has got you. Just trust and believe and remove yourself from the people that is not helping pull you. Go to somebody, to a rescue center where that you're able to find somebody that's going to pray with you, to find somebody that's going to walk with you, to find somebody that's going to be able to guide and lead you. Not everybody is able to do those things, but when you call on the Lord and you ask God to show me who I need to be connected to and how can I get up out of this, I remember of being in darkness. And I had to get to the place where that enough is enough. And now it's time for me to be able, no matter if I have to drag myself, no matter if I have to crawl, no matter if I have to scream out, God, I need you to show me who do I need to go to. And just as well as that person is able to tap on your door or you get that phone call instantly, or if that person, while they're in the praise, somebody God is going to send in the mix of that and come over and sit with you and talk with you and help guide you. So you have to be able to warn it, be able to chip that hardness out of your heart. Allow him to do it. Allow him to be able to come in. Oh, God, I know that I said that I was going to do, but I didn't do. Continue to press forward. Continue to push forward. Continue to show him. Keep your hands lifted up to him. Continue to call on his name. Just start off by just saying Jesus. You might not want to say nothing else. Start off by saying Jesus, I need you. Jesus, I want you. Jesus, help me through this. And as you say that, the chips will start to fall. The scales will start to get off. You'll start to see a little light in that darkness. Continue to follow towards that light. Continue to press your way and trust and believe that he can do all things. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. He will be with you to the end. Believe and trust in him, because you done tried everything else and it didn't work. So now it's time for you to give him a chance. Surrender it all to him and let him guide and lead you and watch what he'll do, because he will show up and show out in the mix of your storm. He will show up and show out. It could be bunch of darkness and like you in a room that's all the lights is off. Here comes somebody with a flashlight and it's a little light. That's Jesus calling you towards that way. So continue to walk towards him. Don't give up. Don't never say that he can't do. Try him and see, because he said, oh, taste and see. So continue to push, continue to push, continue to push. That's been my word since yesterday. God has given me that word. Just continue to push, push forward. Know that he'll be able to do it. It's time for us to get it right in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor Charlotte, for helping, you know, us get on that road
to recovery and change that hardened heart. Thank you so much for your word today, and we pray you have a blessed day.
You do the same. Bless you, my love.
Thank you. All right. You know what time it is. You know, it's, you know, I'm listening to you ladies today. And I'm giving God thanks for your words. And, you know, we got to go into prayer about these hardened hearts. Oh, dear Heavenly Father, God, we come to you today. We all stand before you this morning, dear Heavenly Father, giving you thanks because all the times you could have said no, including this morning, you didn't. And we thank you, God, for just waking us up today and allowing us to see a beautiful day with brand new hope, brand new promises, promises fulfilled, just with brand new tender mercies, with forgiveness. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. God, we're going to lift up the hopeless today. We're going to lift up those who have a hardened heart, dear Heavenly Father. Thank you, God. We don't know what got them there. We don't have a clue, dear God, what avenue they may have taken, what road they may have driven down, when they got off the train, when they missed the bus. We have no idea how they got to a hardened heart, God. But we are lifting these hearts and we're handing them to you this morning right now. And we thank you for taking them. Thank you for hearing our cry. Thank you for forgiving us when that heart was hardened. Thank you for helping to chip away at the plaque that was on that heart. But now that heart belongs to you. God, we pray that there was a word. So many words were given this morning, dear Heavenly Father. So many unexpected words were given this morning, God. Words from an unlikely voice this morning, God. And all the words were put together, dear Heavenly Father. And we pray, God, that everything that has been said has been woven together strategically by you so that you can take your people out of darkness into your marvelous light. Thank you, Father. Thank you for the rescue this morning. Thank you for the investment this morning. Thank you for hearing our cry this morning. Thank you because somebody got up this morning, God, asking you to help them. And your word said, yes, I got your back. Thank you, Father. Thank you for loving us and helping us to push, as Pastor Charlene said. Thank you, God, for turning us around when that heart was hardened and we weren't trying to hear nothing. We weren't trying to hear anything, but your word broke us down. A song broke us down. The Spirit brought back to our remembrance what you said a year ago. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for that love eternal. Thank you for that love that just doesn't stop. Thank you, God, for that forgiveness that's just always in place, that no matter where we are, it just happens because you keep sending it. Thank you, God, for your forgiving nature. Thank you, God, that you don't have a hardened heart. And we can always rely on you we can always trust that you're there and you have not turned your back on us yet. Thank you, God. Because your word says you don't want to see any of us perish. So you just continue, even when our hearts are hardened, God, for no good reason, because we're stubborn, because we want to be sinful, because we're unhappy, because we're living in a life of displeasure and misery, and we've gotten our hearts hardened on our own because we didn't want to listen to you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you that you still come through for us. Thank you. Thank you for loving us the way no one else could. Thank you for showing us love when no one else does, or at least when we feel no one else does. I want to thank you this morning, God, for just always doing what you do. Thank you, God, for sending Pastor Kim our way. When the others couldn't, she could, and you put it on her heart to do so. Thank you, God, for your servants this morning. Thank you, God, for who wanted to be here, but who couldn't. And we're trusting, God, that you just continue to pull it together, because the show does not belong to us. The mission doesn't belong to us. The goal doesn't belong to us. So you got to continue to do what you do. And we're trusting you to do just that. In the precious name of Jesus, we say thank you. Amen. Wow. What a wow morning. You know, I surveyed as the ladies were talking, and I thought about hopelessness, worry, insensitivity towards others, dry devotion of time, unhealthy fear, sinful patterns of stubbornness. If that is not a recipe for a hardened heart, then I mean, as a cook, there is no other series of ingredients that could best make up for a hardened heart. And we're asking God this morning to speak to our hearts. Just speak to our hearts. Because from the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And, you know, we say things, and we always want to go back and say, you know, I didn't mean it. And I just, because I understand that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks, you do mean it. You just realize by the grace of God that it's an inappropriate thing to say, or a series of inappropriate things to say, that you're suffering from these other symptoms. And now you are at a hardened heart. And because your heart is hardened, you continue to operate with these particular components in the forefront of your life. And I have to say, it there's not, and I was hoping that one of the ladies would say it, but I have to tell you, you know, and I'm sure Pastor Kim and Pastor Charlene and, you know, those of us who deal very closely with people, there's nothing more ugly. There's nothing more ugly than a hardened heart. Whether someone deems it an innocent hardened heart, where you have a quote-unquote reason for having a hardened heart, or whether you've just worked your own self into that hardened heart, there is nothing more ugly than a hardened heart. Because a person with a hardened heart, they don't care. They honestly don't care. There's a high level of insensitivity to others. There is a high level of worry and hopelessness. There's a high level of dry devotional time. There's a high level of sinful patterns. There's a high level of unhealthy fear and stubbornness. You really can't see anything other than those seven components. You can't, because a hardened heart cannot be hidden. That hardened heart might be inside your body, and we may not be able to see how your heart is pumping, but a hardened heart shows on the outside. Anyone who's watching people with a hardened heart, it shows. You're exposed. Even if you think, you know, oh, your words are flowery and you bounce around and you appear nice and you appear happy, and nah. You're always going to be off when your heart is hardened, because just like the ladies have said today, you know, it's going to cause you to behave in a certain manner. You can't respond. They have all said you cannot respond to God's word when your heart is hardened. You'll almost be like a robot. You can't even function properly. It doesn't work. You don't work properly. You do not function in the manner that you should. So I pray that as, you know, we listen to all of these ladies speak this morning, we had three voices that spoke magnitude and power this morning. We had three voices that spoke freedom. Ooh. Not only did they speak freely, but they spoke freedom into your life. So I don't care if you're listening to this broadcast June 8th of 2023. God should spare your life. Let this change you. Let this cause you to take a deep look at yourself. There's a reason why you came across this particular episode. Know that God needed you to hear this today. I don't care when your today is. I don't care what hour of the day you hear it. God is speaking to you. And you don't want to miss this opportunity to get it right. Because as long as your heart is hardened, you will not operate in love. You will not operate in joy. Your lifestyle will not be pleasing in the sight of the Lord. And you stand a chance that your day will come and God will close your eyes in your hardened heart state. Don't let it be you. You've been listening to It's Due Time with Pastor Steph. Join us Monday through Friday from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. where we discuss matters of the heart, mind, and spirit. As you go through your day, be sure to set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. They will only serve as a distraction. Remember, prayer changes things. It's Pastor Steph signing off, and I want to thank my Due Time crew for doing what they do and blessing our lives. Thank you for listening and hanging out with us today. Please, please take this opportunity to don't let your heart be hardened. Give your life to the Lord right now, because later is not promised to you. Until tomorrow with Therapeutic Thursday. God spare our life. I love you.